the other word from the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Continue to pray for those who are having surgery on this coming week, for those who are recovering from surgery, we remember them. Let's continue to pray for each other in this uncertain season. Let's continue to trust God with all of our hearts, that God is able, that He's our everything. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible, it reads as thus. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever it sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I preach from the thought this morning, pot stirrers in the church. Pot stirrers in the church. Beloved of God, many of us are familiar with the phrase pot stirrers. Pot stirrers are those people that are instigators. They are agitators. You can be involved in an intense conversation. It can be stressful. But when you add a pot stirrer to that conversation, it becomes a very drama-filled conversation. Already stressful. But you add a pot stirrer to it who agitates, who comes in to instigate, it makes it even worse. I remember when I was a child, that as children, we were immature, and we had this way of pot stirring with our friends. You know, we'd tell John, listen, I was talking to Mike the other day, and he was talking about your mama. Pot stirring. But I found out something. It's not just children that pot stir. That people will come to you and they say, listen, don't tell nobody this, but I want to tell you something. Such and so said. And they know they pot stir. There are people, y'all, that sit on the fence and they listen on one side of the fence to what one person has to say. And they take that and they turn to the other side of the fence. And so said this, but don't tell nobody what they said. Pot stirrers. Messy people. That's what we call them. We call them drama queens, but also there are some drama kings also out there. Gossipers, busybodies. But honestly, can't we be honest for a minute? Now, look at me, don't look around. As Holy Ghost-filled as we are, some of us have been guilty, if not all of us, occasionally being pot stirrers ourselves. Pot stirrers in the church. That we stir up stuff like a spoon in a good stew. We stir up stuff and we stir up stink and we stir up the stuff. But I want y'all to take cover for a minute, because I'm about to drop the bomb. That Jesus placed pot stirrers in the church. Now listen, I'm going to give you the meaning of what I mean here, but there are those fair share of agitators, those fair share of instigators, those messy tea-spilling folk that are part of the body of Christ, that they're in the church. They love God just like everybody else, but they're guilty of being pot stirrers. And I believe that God puts these kind of pot stirrers in the church for a reason. Number one, they keep you praying, don't they? They keep you on your knees. They keep you before They keep you before God. But these posturers, y'all, they keep you before God. But let's be honest. Sometimes you don't spend a whole lot of time around them because you want to keep your Christian record. You don't want no blemishes on your record. And so you avoid sometimes pot stirrers in the church. But Jesus places in the body of Christ not negative pot stirrers, but necessary pot stirrers. Those people that God has gifted us with that will stir us up to good works, that will stir up the gift and the calling that's on the inside of you, the things that God has placed in you. And we ought to be grateful for these pot stirrers. I remember today my grandmother and my great-grandmother. Some of y'all remember G-mamas and big mamas. That you got up and you thought you were big and bad and you were out of the house and you talked to grandmama on the phone. She said, baby, are you in church? Baby, you need to go to church. You need to serve the Lord. She'd stir the pot because she knew what she placed in you, what mama placed in you, what daddy placed in you. And they tell you quick and fast, you need to follow the Lord, baby. That she stirred the pot. We're thankful for those pot stirrers, those gifted pot stirrers that stirred us to do better and to be better and not to be bitter. They stirred the pot to bring out the righteous reactions in us. Yeah. And I believe we're living in times right now where we need church leaders and lay leaders and teachers and pastors and preachers to be pot stirrers today. That we need some pot stirrers in our homes today. We need some pot stirring parents that aren't afraid of their children, to hurt their children's feelings. Hey, listen, this is what you're going to do, baby. It's time to get up and go to church. Get up. We're going to church. Pot stirrers. To tell you, you can't run with everybody. You can't do what everybody is doing. Stir the pot. That we're going to do what thus said the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Pot stirrers. I'm thinking about those Holy Ghost-filled pot stirrers of yesteryear. I think about Rosa Parks. When they said she couldn't sit at the front of the bus, but she had to go to the back, she dared to sit at the front of the bus, that she was a pot stirrer. I think about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who realized and knew that equality was for all people, but lived in a society, the community, where it was not so. But he stood up as a pot stirrer, a prophetic pot stirrer, to speak the truth before a nation. I think about the late Congressman John Lewis, who got into trouble for doing the right thing, who was a pot stirrer for truth and justice and equality, and he called their trouble good trouble. Where are the pot stirrers today that would dare stand up in the midst of this nation? Where are the politicians that will be pot stirrers for truth? And not for just any truth, but for God's truth. Where are the pot stirrers today that will stand up and say, thus saith the Lot? Where are the pot stirrers today? I believe the church has too many leaders and lay leaders. They want to please people. They want to tickle their fancy in their ears. They want to please folk rather than simply telling them, the T.I. is, what is the truth of God's word. If we're going to grow as God's people, listen, from time to time, somebody's going to step on your toes because they're going to tell you the truth. And you need to hear the truth if you are going to grow as a child of God. I believe this, y'all. Listen, unstirred pots can stick and they can stink. Let me say that again. That unstirred pots can stick and they can stink. Anybody ever cooked a pot of good old pinto beans? Put it on the boil real good. You forgot you put those pinto beans on the stove in that pot? And they burn to the bottom of the pot. And you know how pinto beans stink. Some of y'all, when pinto beans stink, y'all, when they begin to burn in the pot, and they stick to the pot, that you have to soak that pot for days to get those pinto beans out of the pot, get that smell out of the pot. Listen, if you don't want to adhere to the truth, listen to the truth, grow in the Lord. Listen, you can stick and you can stink. I believe that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus and churches everywhere that they would be mature in their faith, grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ, and not listen to stinking thinking and false teaching, but to stick to the truth of God's word. And that's a word for us today. Beloved, I believe God wants you to grow in your faith.
Yes, sir.
That God is for forward progression. God is for spiritual maturity. God is for you growing in your faith and in your gifting. Jesus gave the church pot stirrers that are gifted messengers of God. And so as we look at Ephesians chapter 4 real quickly here, I want to show us about these pot stirrers in the church. In the text, the first thing we see is this. Look at verse 11 with me again. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Ephesians chapter 4, it's Paul's treatise on unity, that the church ought to operate in unity. The church ought to operate in love. That the church is to grow together. We are the body of Christ. He uses the body language a lot in the book of Ephesians, that we are the body of Christ. The body has a head. Christ is the head, but we are the body. That we're to walk together, that we're to fellowship together, that we're to love one another. That God has given each person in the church, each believer, at least one spiritual gift. But those gifts have to operate together for the good of the body of Christ. Y'all got me there? For the good of the body of Christ. That there are no lone rangers in the church. That only I can make this work. That only I can do this. Shame on the church that sees the pastor as the only person in the church that can make it work and bring it. The church is not about a single personality. I need y'all to hear me on this. That's why I'm so glad, y'all. I'm so glad that Sister Jackie and I were gone and ministry still went on. God forbid anything should happen to me, but what would my expectation be? Y'all lay me out good up front here. Lay me out good. Make me look good, y'all. And y'all have a good worship service. Y'all cry a whole lot. Then y'all go and get y'all some spaghetti or some macaroni and cheese and a roll and some chicken. And y'all cry a little bit more. And y'all go on. Because the work is not about Kevin Love. It's God's work. I want you to pay attention to something in the text real quick. He says, now these are the gifts of Christ. Notice that. I love the New Living Translation of this. He's not saying, listen, that they are gifted, which they were. These apostles, these evangelists, they were gifted. He says, they themselves are the gift. Do y'all read that in the text? That they are the gift to the church. Christ gave them as a gift to the church. I wonder what it would be like. We are the body of Christ. If we saw the person next to us, not as just some person just sitting there, but they themselves are a gift. That a sister Joyce is sitting next to Sister Irish, that they're gifts to one another. As folks in this area sitting next to each other and you're looking around and you're wondering that you are the gift to the person next to you. What would it be like if I saw you as a gift? Not as a nuisance. Not as somebody that gets on my nerves. Not as somebody I can't stand. Not as something, when I see you coming, I go the other way. But I saw you as a gift. Yeah, a gift with flaws. A gift that's not perfect. But nonetheless, that you are a gift and I am a gift to you. What would the church be like if we saw one another as gifts? And these gifts are used to encourage us, to uplift us, to help us exercise our own personal gifts. Why do you call them pot stirrers? Preacher, I'm glad you want to know. As I said in this text some time ago, looking at the roles of these individuals, y'all, the apostles, these are the sent ones. The prophets, the ones who had a prophetic word, the foretelling of God's word, the prophets, the evangelists, the ones who were sent out to preach the euangelion, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the pastors and teachers, the shepherds and those that are called to instruct God's people. Something occurred to me. Something came to my attention. Which one of these rascals, which one of these folks in any of these roles didn't experience heartache and pain by telling the truth to people no matter where they went? That they would agitate people and irritate people, but they'd also stir people to growth in God. Think about the prophets of old, how they were killed, how they were sown, how they were cut. Think about the apostles and how they were killed for preaching the truth of God's word. Not a one of them had this hunky-dory life where everybody loved them.
Everybody thought they were the greatest thing since sliced bread. But most of them, when you look at them, listen, they were killed for the gospel. I think about the apostolic pastor named Peter, who stood up before a crowd of thousands and began to preach the word of God. And by the end of the sermon, 3,000 souls were saved. I think about this same Peter who had to stand before the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And before it was over, 5,000 people were added to the church, but they were mad, y'all. They were mad. They were meeting in a junkyard, and they wanted to kill them for preaching the truth. I think about a prophetic pastor named John the Baptist who said, "Prepare the way in the wilderness for the Lord." I think about this pastor by the name of Paul, who preaches to the Gentile nation, and many people come to relationship with Jesus Christ. I think about that pastor by the name of Deacon Stephen, that as he preached the word of God, y'all, they stoned him, but he kept on preaching. He looked up into the heavens, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Though they stoned him, he kept on preaching. These pot stirrers. I believe this today. If you stand and you stand for God's truth, you stand for the word of God, some folk are not going to like you. Hear me what I'm saying. Listen, beloved of God, there is an election that's coming up. I'm not here to talk about which side of the aisle that you're on. I don't preach politics in the pulpit. It's too divisive. But I want you to hear me. Whichever side of the aisle you may be on, the questions you have to ask yourself, are they preaching, are they speaking the truth of God's word? You can't be on one side and say, this is against God's word. This, if it's against God's word, you got to be able to say, it's against God's word. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You have to stand for what's true. And I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm asking you to vote. But you have to determine for yourself who's speaking truth, who's speaking in love today. Jesus gave these pastors to the church. And people won't like you for speaking the truth. If you find that there are people in your life that are applauding you all the time, preachers, pastors out there, people that are always applauding you, that everything is good, they want to put you on Time magazine, I'd be a little bit afraid. But when I know that people don't like me for preaching the truth, I know I'm on the right street. Because that's the reality that we live in today. People won't like to hear what you have to say, but you have to stir the pot. Ephesians chapter 4 reveals pot stirrers in the church. These great men and women of God who stirred pots throughout the years. So that there'd be forward progression in the church today. Reveal something else about these pot stirrers. Y'all look at verses 12 and 13 real quick. The responsibility of these pot stirrers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity of our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. The responsibility of the pot stirrer. I like the way the King James Version says this. That their purpose is for the perfecting of the saints. That gives the image of restoring and fixing up. Ladies, listen, when you're trying to get that man, you get it together. You ain't trying to go out like a mud duck. You go and you go to the mirror and you put it on, you got the lashes and everything on, so you're fixing yourself up. When these pot stirrers preach to us and teach us, they're fixing us up so that we look pleasant before the world that's before us, that we're prettified and we look right before the world that's before us so they can see Jesus and not see us, for the perfecting of the saints, but also for the work of the ministry. This is the image of military training. That one is trained for in the military so they can go out and they can fight and they can serve. That you are being trained for the work of the ministry, beloved of God. That God has called you and me to go out and to witness to people that don't know him, the work of the ministry. And then there is the edifying of the body of Christ. Edification means simply to build up, y'all, to build up. Anybody remember the movie Friday? The sequel, 1, 2, and 3. But I think it was one, Minister Terrell, where Craig had a fight with Debo. Y'all remember that? And so as he's going into the fight, you know that, you know, Craig is getting beat up, y'all. The Debo is Deboing him. You know, y'all know Debo, the role of Debo. Debo would take your bicycle, he'd snatch your chain, he was Deboing folk. But he got into this fight with Debo, and the crowd around him was building him up. They were edifying him. Come on, Craig, you can do it. And before you know it, Debo got knocked out. Yeah. The devil wants to Debo you. He wants to Debo you. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your faith. He wants to snatch your peace. But thank God for the people that God has surrounded you with. They will build you up and say, come on, you can do it. Come on, fight with everything you got. Come on, don't stay down. You can get back up. Thank God for the people that God has placed in your life and in the church that so that when the devil comes to Debo you, they can lift you up. When you look at all of this in the phrase of verses 12 through 13, it describes a process, y'all. It's a process. It's like the person that's going on a journey. All of this is leading to something. All of this building up, all of this equipment is leading to something. It says in the text, for the unity of the faith, the knowledge of God's Son, to be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. The fact is, y'all, none of us have arrived, that none of us are perfect. And praise God for the spiritual parents, the pot-stirring parents, and the pastors and the teachers that God has placed in your life, in my life, to build us up and to equip us, because we know we are not perfect, that we're on a journey towards perfection. And we won't reach the end of that journey until we all see Christ Jesus. The pot stirrers in the church, their responsibility seen in the text today. But not only that, I want you to understand the why of the text. Well, why pot stirrers? Why these Holy Ghost-filled pot stirrers? I want you to do the pot stirrers' reason. Look at verse 14. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching or doctrine. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. God, help us today. The lies being told that sound like the truth. God, help us to hear your truth. The pot stirrer's reason. You know, tell you a quick story. So I had a coworker work with some years ago, came into the office and was looking over at him, was kind of down. I'm like, you know, what's going on with you, man? You okay? He says to me, listen, man, I'm having some problems at the house. And my daughter, she won't act right. She won't have cleaned up the room. Don't want to wash the dishes. Don't want to get up and do nothing. Won't hardly go to work. I said, well, go to work. I said, well, how old is your daughter? She's 25. So they said, yeah, man. And when we come home from work, she's asking my wife, what are we going to have for dinner? So in my head, it was like, skirt, wait a minute, what? 25. No, we ain't having none of that. But you know, oh, brother, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right, man. It's going to be all right. I say that to say this, y'all. Listen, I just believe this, that maybe in the church sometimes we got some people acting like that 25-year-old still sitting at the house. We got people in the church that are so spiritually immature that you've been in for 5 and 10 and 15 years, and you're still sitting back and wondering, what's the church going to do for you? When the question is, what are you going to do for the church? How are you going to serve? Who are you praying for? How are you serving God? Or will we be like that 25-year-old still sitting at the house wondering, when I show up at church, what you got for me? Can I ask you, what y'all got for me? What are you doing for God? How are you serving the Lord? And so the reason of the posture then is to equip you to be spiritually mature. Some Christians are gadget Christians. The text talks about being tossed and blown about by every wind of doctrine and new teaching. Some people, anyway, if it's new, y'all, folk believe it. Whatever it is, if it's out there and it's the latest and it's the greatest, it's the latest in pop psychology, people hang on to that stuff, y'all. And I'm saying to you, even young people, there are lots of anointed and great young preachers and pastors that are out there today. But listen to me. When they're preaching to you, go to your Bible. Go to the Word. Make sure they've got the context right in the Bible. Because folk will give you this good sounding word, y'all. They'll quote the scripture and they go left on you. And they're nowhere in the text at all. They're on their own agenda. But make sure that you're not tossed and blown about. There's some gadget Christians out there. You know, whatever's out there. You know, I remember some time ago people talking about going back to Jewish and Hebrew roots and stuff. You know, that's the latest and greatest. You know, they wearing the beanies on their head and stuff, knowing you from Coldwater, Mississippi. You know, and then, y'all, they start talking about, well, you know, we shouldn't eat pork. I said, the devil is a lie. Some of y'all look at me now, you know you don't need to eat no pork. Listen, it's in moderation, y'all. It's in moderation. Some people say pig make you big. I say swine make you fine. So I ain't got no problem with it. Pot must be stirred. The pot stirs reason. To speak the truth. To not lie. Parents that are here today, children, speak truth. Husband and wives, be pot stirred, speak truth. It's the final thing, and I'm through with the text, y'all. We can go home and do what we do, get something to eat. Today's lesson, verses 15 through 16, this last point. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who's the head of his body, the church. Again, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So the whole body is healthy, growing, full of love. Talk about the pot stirrers' resource. Their resource, that's it. That Jesus placed Holy Ghost-filled pot stirrers in the church. I believe he placed it in your homes too. And I believe you're called to be a pot stirrer on your job as well. And in the community, to speak the truth. But here's the part that I like about the text. It says that instead we will speak the truth and we'll do it in love. For these Holy Ghost-filled pot stirrers to have us to speak, other people to speak the truth in love. They had to speak the truth. They had to do it in love as well. That we speak truth, y'all, but we do it in love. Some years ago, I remember the story of a church leader that was asked by folks in the secular community to join them on a television broadcast where they were a singer too, and so they sing with these other folk on a talk show. Shortly before the talk show began, this church leader was canceled. They told him, listen, you can't sing with these secular folk. Because several people heard this church leader speak at a church, give a sermon, and talking about sexual purity and what was right before God, and they got on the subject of homosexuality. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I said, you got to speak the truth. When we talk about sexual purity, y'all, we gotta speak the truth. But I need to hear me today too. We can't get on our soapbox and just focus on one thing. We can't just talk about homosexuality. If we're gonna talk about the whole thing, we gotta talk about the whole thing. Now, how about folks that are living together and they married? We gotta talk about the whole thing. Well, what about the people that are sleeping with somebody that's not their wife? We got to talk about the whole thing, y'all. What about adulterers and foreigners? We got to talk about the, don't just pick one thing out. But suffering, I said, well, listen, but I was thinking, what's wrong with that? So I listened to the sermon. I listened to it myself. And I said, Lord, have mercy. That when they talked about, they was mean and nasty and rude and just putting folk down and just putting folk to shame. There was no love in that sermon whatsoever. I said to myself, that ain't right. That we have a resource as people of God, as ministers of the gospel, as people who carry the torch of God's word, who preach the truth, that we have to do it in love. That we got to know how to stir the pot, but at the same time spread the honey. Yeah. That we have a resource, and that resource is love. Jesus was the greatest pot stirrer there. I'm almost done, y'all. There ever was. That he was a pot stirrer. He loved people until they either loved him or hated him. That he loved people and he preached the truth till they criticized him. Jesus healed sick folk, bought folk from the dead, and they criticized and talked about him. He told religious leaders that their daddy was the devil. He spoke the truth in love. That he turned over the tables in the temple. That he was a pot stirrer, such a pot stirrer that they killed him. They hung him on a cross. He died and they placed him in the grave. But 3 days later, he got back up with all power in his hands. And he gave us power to live for him and to serve him. And he gave to the church gifts. And these gifts are Holy Ghost-filled pot stirrers. They're spiritual spoons that God has called to stir the pot, to stir up what's in you, to stir up your gifting, to stir up your calling, to do what's right and to live right. And so we have to keep stirring the pot. The story of a man, about done, who every year he baked a cake for his mother for her birthday. That it was her special cake. It was an apricot queen cake. And he learned how to bake this cake from his grandmother. But the man admitted in the first year or two of making those cakes that he was not really a baker, that it took some time to learn how to make this special cake for his mother. And the problem he had with making the cake was that filling that went between the layers of the cake. And the directions that his grandmother gave him said, listen, just keep the heat and keep on stirring the pot. Keep the heat and keep on stirring the pot. Well, the young man did that in his first year. So I said, but ain't nothing happening. This stuff, it ain't jellifying. It ain't coming together. And so that's country, y'all. And so it's not gelling. And so he called his grandmother. She said, baby, listen, I told you what to do. I gave you some clear direction. I told you to keep the heat up and keep stirring the pot. Turn the heat up, keep stirring the pot. So that's what the young man did. He turned the heat up and he kept stirring the pot. He turned the heat up and he kept stirring the pot. And before long, y'all, listen, that filling began to gel. It did exactly what it needed to do. The change began to take place. And he had to put the filling inside of the cake. I'm saying something to y'all. Listen, sometimes it may seem like it may take a minute for some things to change. But you got to keep on stirring the pot, y'all, until something happens. I want to encourage you parents to keep stirring the pot until something happens. Be truth tellers of God. Keep on stirring the pot until something happens. Preachers, keep on stirring the pot, whether people want to hear it or not. Be instant in season and out. Keep on stirring the pot. Come on, where are the pot stirring parents in the house today? Come on, you got to stir the pot. You got to tell your children what thus saith the Lord. You got to stir the pot. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I'm going to stir the pot. We got to tell people the truth. Come on, keep on stirring the pot. Stir the pot until something changes. When it looks like things aren't, keep on stirring the pot. When you're looking for people to change and you're giving them God's word, keep on stirring the pot. Children act like they ain't got no act right. Keep on stirring. Keep on stirring the pot. Husband act like he don't want to come on. Keep on stirring the pot. Husband act like he done lost his, keep on stirring the pot. Keep on walking in faith. Keep on preaching truth. Keep on standing for the Lord. Keep on praying. Keep on serving. Keep stirring the pot. Something changes. Turn up the heat until you see a change. God has placed in the church His gifts. Some are
apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some prophet teachers. I believe they're in our community too and in our homes. But these are the Holy Ghost and righteous posturers that God has placed in our lives to spur us to good works and to stir up the gifting and the calling that God has placed in each and every one of us. To God be the glory for posturers in the church. Pray with me quickly. God, thank you for this word today. God, I believe in this house, in this place. You've called for stand-up people in this society in which we live. To be truth tellers. To stand upon the principles and precepts of your word. God, thank you for those that you gifted long ago. To be posturers, to be truth tellers. That today as a church we stand on their shoulders. Because they kept telling the truth. Even when people didn't want to listen. And many of these great men and women of God died for the faith because they refused to lie and they stood on the truth. That they stood before kings and potentates and people of power and they spoke truth. Oh God, how we need those people in the church and in our community, in our neighborhoods and in Congress and in the Senate today. People that will tell the truth, but they'll do it in love. So God, I pray for this assembly, for all that are gathered under the sound of my voice. God, that we will speak truth wherever you tell us to go, whoever you tell us to speak truth to, that we'll be filled with your spirit, we'll speak your truth, and we'll do it in love. God, in this moment, I speak your truth. That we are all guilty of sinning and falling short of your glory. That all of us have missed the target. That we don't get it quite right. All have sinned, that's what your word says, and fallen short. But by the grace of Jesus Christ, oh God, where would we be? Thank you that Jesus came, that he died for our sins. And he rose from the grave with all power. And your word says that whosoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. That settles it. So God, we pray in this moment right now for those that may not have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that they would receive him today. That we admit that we're all sinners. We're willing to repent from our sins, to turn from our sins. We believe in this moment that Jesus is the Christ, your only begotten Son. We confess him with our mouths, and we believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead, and that faith and that belief saves us and that settles it. Speak to a heart right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Draw them, Holy Spirit, only as you can. Draw them to a place of salvation by your power. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if there's someone here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we encourage you to do that. You need to do that today. If there's someone here today, listen, you say, I'm saved. I have a relationship with Jesus, but you're not in a church where you can worship with other believers, praise with other believers, fellowship with other believers. We invite you today to do that. There are ushers that are standing in the aisles right now. If you're in the house today and you're saying, listen, I want to connect with this church called Living Faith Community Church, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Not a perfect church, but we serve a perfect God. Why don't you go with them to room number one? They'll gather some information from you. And we're welcome to the body with open arms. If you're in the house today, you can follow them out at this moment. We don't rush this moment. If you're here right now and it's your heart's desire to connect with this ministry, why don't you get up from where you are? The enemy may be telling you, don't get up. You don't need to do that. You don't need to be a part of the body. You don't need to be a part of a church. Yes, you do. We need each other. Why don't you get up from where you are? Amen. Why don't you get up
The ushers will lead you to room number one. If you're in tune today, if you're online today, listen. I want to give you that plea as well. Hallelujah. If you're not connected to a church somewhere and you're online, you can do that today. There is a new member form that you can fill out today. Fill that form out. I promise you on this week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you. We'll gather information from you and we will welcome you, amen, with open arms. Will there be another?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.